Well, I can guarantee you one thing today. The devil is not going to be happy with this sermon. And with Jesus, we gather to spit in his face. And we speak together the popular Easter acclamation. It's never too old. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning? Why Jesus Went to Hell. Ewald did a particular good job with H-E double hockey sticks there. Look at that. Wow. Our sermon is based on the epistle reading that we read today from 1 Peter chapter 3. This reading doesn't come up very often in our schedule of readings, but when it does, we need to address this key doctrine of the church, why Jesus went to hell. 1 Peter says, quote, Jesus was put to death in the body, made alive in the spirit, and then he went and preached to the spirits in prison. In 1955, a very famous World War II movie was made. The movie was actually the biography of the most highly decorated soldier in American military history. His name was Audie Murphy. After his service in the military, he became a movie actor. The title of the movie was To Hell and Back. A great summary of all the hardships he went to and all the campaigns he served in as he won all these medals for valor. He really went in the military to hell. And then he came back. It's a very fitting title for our sermon today as we consider our dear Lord Jesus Christ, who for us, as proof of our salvation, went to hell, but he came back. Now, week after week, we confess this in the Apostles' Creed. Do we really understand what we're confessing? Week after week in the Creed, we say, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and then he descended into hell. What does it mean? What Jesus descent into hell does not mean, please hear me carefully, does not mean he went to hell to suffer in our place. It's a common misunderstanding by a number of Christians that Jesus went to hell there and suffered in our place. It's not biblical teaching. The hell Jesus suffered, we could say, was right there upon the cross. For the definition of hell in the Bible is separation from God or existence apart from the presence of God. That's hell. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, paying for the sins of the world, paying for your sins and for mine, bearing the filth of the sins of the world, the Heavenly Father, in His perfect holiness, turned His back on the Son, wouldn't even look at Him as He bore the sins of the world. And that's why Jesus cried out the most horrible cry, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? The Father forsook the Son that He would never forsake you. So then what about that 1 Peter 3 passage? He went and preached to the spirits in prison. And what about that statement in the Creed? He descended into hell. Well, there have been over the centuries many explanations about this descent. Before Martin Luther, in the medieval church, people thought it had something to do with Old Testament saints. That is, somehow after the cross, it was taught that Jesus went to the realm of the dead to lead the Old Testament saints to the bliss of heaven. Interesting idea. But better yet was a medieval play called The Harrowing of Hell. If any of you have any farm background whatsoever, that process of harrowing means to get into that unworked field and tear it all up and turn it all up, getting ready for the planting. Right where Beverly and I live in Steveston, the fields have been harrowed. They've been planted and now the green is coming. It's beautiful. I love that time of the year, every year, to smell the manure on the field. But in order for the field to grow a crop, it has to be harrowed, all turned up. This play was called The Harrowing of Hell. The picture is of our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, paying for the sins of the world, came alive in His spirit, and He went into the pits of hell, taking one demon by the head and throwing him this way, kicking another one this way, wading through hell, coming to the very throne of the devil and saying, "Now I've come for you. You thought you had me on Friday. A Friday has passed, and Sunday has come, and I am risen. I am risen indeed, and I've come to defeat you once and for all." And really, that's what our text in 1 Peter is talking about. That's what the Apostles' Creed talks about when it says He descended into hell. Unfortunately, some churches today omit that phrase in the Apostles' Creed. They simply take it out. They say that that's just a symbolic thing of what happened on the cross. It's not real history. Unfortunately, some of the same churches who take that phrase, "He descended into hell," out of the creed, are the same ones who deny the real presence of Christ in Holy Communion, calling it just a symbolic meal. I read to you now from a document from 1577. It's called the Formula of Concord. It's a summary of Lutheran doctrine right after the time of Luther, trying to explain, and it does a very good job of it, the descent into hell. Listen carefully. "When we speak of the descent into hell, we simply believe that Christ, after the burial, descended into hell, conquered the devil, destroyed the power of hell, took from the devil his might, destroyed hell for believers, delivered them from the power of death, and from the jaws of hell itself." That is, to make it clear, Jesus' descent into hell was not to suffer, but to declare His victory. Remember the play, "The Heroine of Hell." But now let's take a little time and look more closely at the only passage in the whole Bible that talks about this doctrine. 1 Peter chapter 3, basically verses 18 to 20. The text begins, "He died once for all." Jesus Himself suffered and died for the sins of the world. Even little Melissa in the children's sermon, when asked, "What is Jesus doing up there?" she said, "He's dying to pay for our sins." And He did it once and for all, the text says. Once and for all. That's good news for us. There's not any sin of any kind that's been committed at any time in our life or in the history of the world that was not paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. He died once and for all, the text says. But then it goes on to say, He died once and for all, verse 18, He was the righteous for the unrighteous. The righteous, that's Jesus. For the unrighteous, that's you and me. This is what theologians call the great exchange. He got what we deserved, death for sin, that we might get what He deserves, honor and glory in heaven and ever. What an exchange. But the text goes on. "And He was put to death in the body." It's really important there, that grammar. This is a passive verb, not an active verb. The text doesn't say Jesus died. It says He was put to death. It was done to Him. It was a part of God's plan that Jesus would be our substitute, our sacrifice, who was put to death for you and for me. The text goes on to say, "And then He was made alive with respect to the Spirit." Again, the passive verb. Jesus was made alive by the Heavenly Father. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things He said was, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And here it says, after the crucifixion, after the sins of the world were paid for, Jesus was raised to death by the Heavenly Father, and the Father returned His spirit into Jesus' body. And now comes the key verse. Verse 19, it says, "And then He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus went and preached, and his sermon topic, if Jesus had a PowerPoint slide, his sermon topic for that sermon in hell would be this: in your face, Satan. He went and preached. There's a very unique Greek word used there for preach. And this is so very important. It's not the verb that means to preach the gospel, as if to give someone in hell a second chance. No. The verb is keriso, which means it's like a trumpet blast. It's to preach and proclaim a victory. It's like when a victorious army general marches through a village in biblical times and a herald goes ahead of him with a trumpet blast. The general has won. The general has victory. He has triumphed. When the text says Jesus preached to the spirits in prison, his topic was in your face, Satan. I won. You lost. The text says he went and he preached. Finally, it says, to the spirits in prison. Verse 19. In Scripture, the prison is where demons and unbelievers are kept. Listen to Revelation 9 and Revelation 18. It says, the bottomless pit, the prison for every foul spirit, the dwelling place of the demons. It's talking about hell. That's where Jesus first proclaimed his victory. Now, maybe you've never seen this before. To whom was given the first declaration of the gospel in Genesis? In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God himself addresses the devil in the form of a stake. And to that snake, God says, the seed of the woman, the promised Messiah, will come and he will crush your head. Did you catch it? The first recipient of the promise of the gospel was the devil. And now, the first place where Jesus proclaimed his victory was in the face, again, of the devil. The spirits in prison, according to Holy Scripture, are those, the devil and his demons and unbelievers, who have rejected God's grace. In the present context of 1 Peter 3, it specifically refers to those people who, after the time of Noah, refused to put their faith in God. But in the fuller biblical context, the prison is the region of the damned. Unbelievers, the devil, and his demons. And Jesus' descent into hell was not to suffer for us, but to proclaim to the devil again, I have won. And you, ancient enemy of God, you have lost. God promised you in creation I would come and crush your head. And now from my cross and empty tomb, do you feel your head being crushed? I have won. You have lost. Jesus' descent into hell is his first step, not in his humiliation, but his exaltation. Listen to Colossians 2, verse 15. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, having victory over them through the cross. The principality and powers are a reference to the devil and his demons, and it says that he made a public spectacle of them. This is another military term. When prisoners of war are marched in shame, stripped of all their power and weapons, to declare to the world they have lost, the general has won. Jesus' descent into hell, his victory over the devil, is his first step in exaltation as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So now, I'm going to have you open up your hymnals to the back cover, the very back cover, please. And on the back cover of your hymnal, you will find on top the Apostles' Creed. Let's now confess the creed with both joy and a little more understanding than when we came in here today. We're just going to speak together the middle paragraph about Jesus and paying particular attention to the phrase we talked about this morning. Let's read together. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. Today, we thank God for Jesus' descent into hell. We thank God for Jesus' in-your-face proclamation sermon. But most of all, we thank God that everything Jesus did, He did for you and He did for me because He loves us so. In the name of Jesus, amen.